Welcome to From Carpool to College, a show for parents who are trying to get ahead or just keep their sanity while navigating the college planning landscape. Welcome to From Carpool to College. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
Tara Horitz.
And in this episode, we're going to talk briefly about the college interview and different types. And this came up because we had a couple of clients this cycle who had interviews. Mm-hmm. And the parents were asking some really great questions, like, what is this? What do we do? How do we prepare? And you, I don't want to blow anyone's spot up, but one of them was a very high profile college, mm-hmm. and they were invited for the interview. And one may think that it has a lot of merit, but in reality, we don't really know. Worthy to talk about. And we're going to have a brief conversation about that today.
It was post-submit. So it was after the students submitted their application. I'm not sure if they're done before submitting an application without if the student reached out, right? But this is post, you know, submitting, they received their application, and then they were asked for an interview.
Right. And not every college has the interview. And parents, when you do a deep dive on this, because we want everything we talk about on From Carpool to College, we have educational conversations with parents. We are not a podcast where this is it's a chess match strategy, how to get into college. We're about the kind of the why things happen, when things happen, how to prepare yourself kind of. We're more about your family and your kid and not having a time machine and valuing this is the big picture. So saying that, today we're going to talk about the college interview. Please understand that every interaction your kid has with a human being from a college is an informal interview. Right. That interaction is recorded in notes, on a spreadsheet, even Zooms, virtual visits, all of it is tracked as part of demonstrated interest or demonstrating knowledge about the institution.
Right.
So
there's different types.
There's different types.
And there are different people who are conducting the interviews, right?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a great place to start.
Yeah.
So who is coming into, are they coming into your house? You know, I'm going to say the movie from the 80s. I reference it. She's looking at me like, Risky Business.
Oh, right.
Okay, terrible. Well, listen, I don't think that movie stood up, first of all. And that's like the Tom Cruise when he was like an icon for Gen X is different than the Tom Cruise there is now.
Yeah.
So saying all of that, in the movie, Tom Cruise's character was having a house party with like prostitutes and things and terrible things going on, and Princeton was coming over for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was like kind of like a secondary plot in this terrible movie from the 80s. So do those kind of interviews even take place anymore? That's a question. Are colleges doing that? And you're not going to find answers, parents, and we're not going to give you a definitive answer, because so much of this interview process, these interviews in themselves, it's a deliberate gray area by colleges. And we can tell you that who's going to do the interview could either be someone from admissions or an alumnus. So let's start with someone from admissions. Let's talk about the admissions counselor's role. The admissions counselor is a representative from the college or university who is assigned a territory or a specific program or population, where half of the year they are marketing and understanding where they're generating applications from. And then the other part of the year, they're actually helping with figuring out and curating who's going to get in, who's going to build that graduating class of 2030 or whatever. So that's the admissions officer. That's the admissions counselor. And as we spoke of in many other episodes of our podcast, someone that you need to know the name of this person. Mm-hmm. You need to know who is the regional rep, who is the reader for, who is the admissions officer, the admissions counselor. There's all different names, but it's one person. Most colleges have one designated. Others don't, but most of them do. And mm-hmm. you will see that, and that's found readily online. So if there's an admissions representative interviewing your kid, that is going to carry some significant weight in the applications process.
Right. And I think, Tracy, you were saying that one of the reasons that we're seeing maybe a little bit less of that at times is because there's just not the time. We don't have the amount of people working at the colleges that can do that.
Correct. It is a human resource challenge for the university. Even these admissions counselors, if you look up to see like who's the admissions counselor for, you know, where you're listening, you'll see there's a whole bunch of territories. I always joke with the admissions counselors for Jersey because I feel like, my gosh, your responsibility is to market to the most densely populated state in the union and whose public school infrastructure is every single zip code has its own school district. We don't even regionalize here. So you got to put your varsity A game admissions reps for Jersey. Just saying, not just saying because of my Jersey pride, but understanding all of this, as Tara is saying, it's a human resource issue because if we're looking at 100,000 applications, mm-hmm. are you talking about 100,000 interviews? What the what? No way. So it's not going to get done. And frankly, and Tara and I were talking about this off mic, about even essays are not being read at some of the big 10, the big rah-rah schools, not just necessarily Big Ten, but it's just impossible. Mm-hmm. It's a human resource issue. Yes, they'll be read by the bots and they'll be graded and mm-hmm. scored. But as far as that old image of like, I always used to think of like an old professor, not old, probably someone my age actually now, but with like a red velvet smoking jacket with elbow patches and a pipe and salt and pepper hair, reading with his reading glasses on, crossed legged, you know.
By a fire.
Yes. Reading the application, reading the essay, right? She now, like my husband, who doesn't have any hair. But some like intellectual, that's not happening. So in the interview, who is doing this? Well, it's some wonderful person from admissions if they can afford that resource. Smaller schools will do that. Private independence, you know, independent schools. I'm not going to name the schools, but mm-hmm. you know those great schools that maybe, you know, maybe movies about colleges are filmed on their campus because they have ivy and bricks and all sorts of like beautiful old cobblestone, those kind of great little schools in the Northeast, and all the seasons are there. I think of that John Knowles book, A Separate Piece.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Tara's an English teacher, so she knows. So in the case where an admissions officer has contacted your kid, yeah, that's going to count. And they're going to assess fit. They really want to know, they need to think about their class. Mm-hmm. And how your kid's going to fit in. Not necessarily if, but how, right? Yeah. They're not going to extend an interview if it's a throwaway.
Right.
So it's a good sign.
Yeah, that is a good sign. I'm going to interrupt for 1 second because when we first started the episode, I had briefly mentioned whether they contact before or after. And I have seen both now that I think about it. There was the before is sometimes when it's convenient for maybe the college rep when they're in the middle of college fairs and they will be in that area.
Yes.
So they will schedule, hey, I will be in this area during Tuesday and Wednesday where I'll be conducting the college fair, you know, my table at the college fair, and I have time to set up a few interviews, right? This is the time of year where a lot of the reps are eating all three meals in their cars and they're driving from spot to spot to spot. But those maybe are a little bit different than the ones that are being contacted after, the ones who are making contact after the application is in, right? So there's a few different variables there. But yeah, so there are the ones that are used for evaluating the applicant, and then ones that are just maybe to kind of, not market, but, you know, answer any questions that the student may have, more informational. How can I help you?
And think about this college admissions counselor who is eating all three meals in their car and they're maximizing their road trip.
Yes.
And that's on their bingo card. That's like, hey, by the way, boss, director of admissions to Fancy Pants College or a state college, I was on the road and I did three college fairs in the last 2 weeks. I did three college fairs, 10 college visits and high school visits rather. And while I did those 10 high school visits, I went to 10 local Starbucks and saw 50 prospective students. Great. Okay. Mm-hmm. You're hitting your numbers.
Right.
So that is definitely informational. And also it's a win for the kids too. It gives them good opportunity. It's like a win-win for everybody. But again, when it's an admissions officer, then that's definitely something that you want your kid to brush up on. You know, why do you want to study this? Mm-hmm. And we're not going to go through those granular how to prepare for an interview. We just want to let you know that the interview does take place. It is a gray area. It's very much kept behind the curtain. And one of the reasons, too, is a lot of schools will employ, and there's a lot of Ivies. Ivies will deploy an alumnus who is actively involved in the alumni association, which means they're volunteering time, money, or both for the school. And that person is, let's just say it's me. Let's say I went to Ivy University and I loved it so much. I met my husband there. I have 6 kids with him and all my kids wear those college sweatshirts because I want them all to go there. So I went to Ivy University, I met my husband there, and I have 6 kids, they all wear the sweatshirts, and I donate to the Alumni Association. As a matter of fact, I've included Ivy University in my last will and testament, mm-hmm. that they're going to get a portion, they're going to get my shore house. I might as well be dreaming big, right? My shore house, right? I'm Jersey. Yeah. So my zip code is 07000, whatever. And Ivy University has 10 applicants from my zip code. So they will see which distinguished alumna lives in that zip code, and they will deploy me to represent their school and conduct an interview. Now, that interview is, I don't work for Ivy University. As a matter of fact, I sell vacuum cleaners. And I don't know really what's going on only through the alumni bulletin, and I go to all the football games, of course, but I represent the school. So I will be assigned 10 of those students to meet at a Starbucks or a Zoom for interviews. And I will get a rubric to complete and talk about a little bit my impressions of that student, of that applicant. How much does it count in that kid's application? Meh.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Everything is kept behind the curtain. There's a lot of theories.
Right.
All right. There's a lot of Reddit strands on that. There's a lot of theories that it doesn't count for much at all. But we don't know. And right. It will keep me as an Ivy University alumna actively involved in the association. It strokes my ego. And I will absolutely, I bleed that color. Right. So.
Right.
So it's a win for me. It's a win for the school. It's a win for the kid, because now you have local alumni who are maintaining and starting relationships. It's like a win for everybody. But how much does it really count? I don't know.
Yeah. And if you check out, right, Common Data Set.
Yes.
You can see that some schools will list it as not even considered.
Right.
And others.
There's a Likert scale almost. Yeah. If you look at the Common Data Set, we talk about this a lot, parents. Common Data Set. So let's say you want to pick up a school. I'm looking at a Rutgers banner. So you want to you Google Rutgers Common Data Set, and you find the admissions data from the previous calendar year, and you can scroll down. Is it section C?
C7.
Look at you.
I think it's C7.
You're a savant, Tara. C7. And so go down to C7. Tara plays it off like, she's like, is that something? She knows. C7.
Well, anyway, I think it's C7.
Unless we're playing Battleship. And then you just sunk my dinghy. So the criteria for admission will be listed in that section, and it'll say,
like all the ingredients, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And how much it really counts. So that's, for interviews. Something else you need to also understand is, for every school your kid's applying to, Google it. do a search. Go on the admissions webpage mm-hmm. and do a deep dive, because there are schools, especially smaller private schools, that will say, click here to schedule your interview. Click mm-hmm. here for your supplemental question. And that won't be part of the Common App. It won't be plated up for you. And it's their way of teasing out, do you really want to come here? Have you really done your research, kiddo? So they really want to know, you know, they're assessing fit, they're assessing interest. They want you to apply and attend. They don't want to waste their acceptance on someone who's not going to be saying yes to the dress. Tara and I get a lot of clients and a lot of one-offs for working with kids to do a practice interview. And we love it because we don't know these kids. These are people who find us from our website, mm-hmm. academicmentoringllc.com. There's the plug. We're always plugging, like we're starting to recently talk about Nespresso coffee because we love it so much. And we would love for them to send us VirtuoPods. VirtuoPods Nespresso, please. It is our fuel. Anyway,
sing.
It is our fuel. So it's true though. And Sephora.
Yep.
Because we're moms and we're aging. And our kids are aging us. And we got to fight the fight.
That's right.
We're not doing Botox yet.
Uh-uh.
Keyword. Yet. In any event, we do have one-off clients from our website and listeners. And we'll do a Zoom for a practice interview because we are strangers. And we're also counselors and educators. And we understand the whole process and big picture. And we're kind of easy to work with. So parents, you may want to think about your kid. We know every kid is unique. So how your kid may come across in an interview may not really be reflective of who they are and all the great things they have to offer. So do your homework. Find out what schools are looking for interviews. It changes year to year.
Mm-hmm.
It changes college to college, of course, but every interaction that your kid has, and you, by the way, parents, don't think for a second they're not looking at you and your wackiness. So dial it back, right? We talked about that in the college fair visit. You know, dial it back, yes. Parents. Take a step. Let your kid do the talking. But you want to prepare. Look, parents, look at the common data set. Look at the admissions page. Think about your kid. Maybe you do want to hire someone to do a practice interview just to see how it goes. And there's tons of stuff online.
There is.
Lots of resources. Use them. Absolutely use them. But just that your takeaway is every interaction is an interview, and understand that colleges will very deliberately keep the value and the real purpose of the interview in the gray. They'll keep that in the gray area. What we have control over is how we comport ourselves and our preparedness.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we wish you the best of luck. Do those deep dives, and you know where to find us, right? From Carpool to College. You can also find Tara and me online at our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Tracy Amadeo.
Tara Haritz.
And we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you enjoyed what you heard, we'd love for you to be a part of our growing community. Please share and follow our show. For those who want to support us further, join our Patreon site. Your support helps us create high-quality content and great episodes. Plus, our Patreon members get exclusive perks like bonus episodes, early access, and behind-the-scenes content that we think you're just going to love.
And now for some legal stuff. The content of this podcast is for informational and educational entertainment purposes only, and is provided as is with no guarantee of accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or outcomes. I could keep going, but I will spare you, and I will post this entire legal disclaimer on our website, www.academicmentoringllc.com, under podcast. Tara and I are so glad you joined us today on From Carpool to College. See you next time. Something like that.
Yeah.
Done.
That's good.
Okay, Chris, make that pretty, please. Pretty, please. Make it pretty, please. We're just trying to figure out, Chris, how to save this thing. It's so wonky. So, sorry, there's extra here. All right, stop.